From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of April, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And then later in the half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, a new strain of bird flu is responsible for 6 deaths in China, and the government there has slaughtered all the poultry at a Shanghai market where pigeons were being sold for meat were infected. The CME Group will change its trading hours this weekend. The new hours are from 7 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. and 8:30 to 1:15. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then as we close out our half hour together, we'll talk with state climatologist Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute about the weekend weather forecast. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's check out the numbers in Chicago as they finished up on this Friday afternoon. Nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat, that'd be the May futures, $6.99.5. A close 5.5 cents higher. July at $7, up a half. In September, $7.12¾, up 4¾. And the hard red in Kansas City at $7.33¼, finished 4.5 cents higher. These are all closes and not settlement prices. On Monday, that should change as the settlements will start coming again at 1:15 instead of at 2 o'clock. We'll talk more about that a bit later in the program. From the corn pit back in Chicago, a close today, down a penny and a quarter at $6.28¾ for the May. In July at $6.18¼, a quarter lower. September at $5.52, down 3. And December futures, $5.33, down 7 cents. March corn at $5.45½, a nickel lower. May futures at $5.53¾, down 4.5 cents. And July of 2014 at $5.58, down 6¼ in the corn pit. May beans at $13.61¾. Settlement price there, down 10¼. July at $13.43¾, down 8. September at $12.65, down 3. And November beans at $12.28, finished 5 cents lower on the afternoon. January at $12.34, settlement price down 4¾. Bean meal futures at $3.92 were down 5.10. Bean oil up 32 at $48.87. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Checking the Mercantile Exchange livestock numbers, April contract at 126.25. That's $1.22½ lower for the day. June live cattle at 121.50, down 85 cents. April feeders at 142.57½, down $1.32½. The May at 144.30, down $1.65. And April lean hogs on the afternoon at $80.25, finished $1.40 lower for the day. The outside markets show us the crude oil trading at $92.86 a barrel, down 40 cents. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price, 3 cents lower, 286.8. And ethanol at 241.6. That's 7 tenths of a cent lower. The difference between the two is now 45 2/10 of a cent. That's 2 3/10 of a cent narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.12¾. That's 17.5 cents higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.91¾ a gallon. That's 4 6/10 of a cent of a gallon lower for the afternoon. And gold futures at $1,575.50 an ounce, up $23.50. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 57 on a northeast wind at 7 to 10 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy this evening with a low of 41. Tomorrow, 20% chance of showers, that is. Partly sunny, a high of 68. It'll be breezy, a south wind at 14 to 19 miles an hour. And then Saturday evening, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a low of 50 degrees. Sunday, partly sunny and 66. Calm winds out of the northwest. And then Sunday evening, showers and thunderstorms are most likely. 53 degrees for the low. Chance of precipitation on Sunday night, 70%. 50% on Monday. It'll be mostly cloudy then in 64. Showers and thunderstorms continue into Monday night, mostly cloudy and 49, and Tuesday, more showers and thunderstorms, cloudy and 63.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Let's check out what's been happening in the marketplace with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. It's a sunny, warm day for a change.
It is a beautiful day, and I know it's making farmers get out and about, and they're probably getting the planters all cleaned up and ready to go and greased and tractors hooked up, and, well, it's going to rain.
Pulling their children out of the fields after they get stuck, something like that.
Yeah. That's not on the little four-wheelers, but yeah, something along those lines. Hey, before we get started with the futures markets, just a reminder, and Dave Dickey will tell us this too during the newscast, but on Sunday evening, the markets don't open as they usually have, and I don't know what you call usual from the CME
yeah.
group at the moment,
right.
but we have new times, and we go from, what, 7 in the evening now to 7:45 the following morning.
Correct.
That's electronic trade. And then we pause, and then both the electronic and the open outcry trade together from 8:30, which is an hour earlier than the normal opening. It'll be the normal opening, I suppose. So they open at 8:30, and then they'll close back up at what had been for decades the normal closing time at 1:15 in the afternoon.
That's right. Yeah, and the mini size greens go back to 1:45 like they used to be, too. So kind of a nice, refreshing change back to hopefully a time where, you know, maybe some of the algo traders and some of these low-latency computerized model traders will not want to participate as much in the trade, I think, Todd, because they like the trade to be open all the time, and that way they don't have fits and starts in their computer models. So I'm hoping that maybe this is a pleasant, you know, change back to maybe what commodities are more suited for, especially agricultural commodities.
We'll find out as we make our way through the next several weeks. The one thing that won't have changed at that point is USDA reports, like the WASDE numbers that are due out next week, will come out at 11 o'clock. That started in January of this year and will remain. And I don't think USDA has any intention of going back and changing that, but maybe they will.
Yeah, I doubt it. I think, you know, in fact, the pre-estimates for the upcoming WASDE report came out from a couple different news wires today, and I think that might have been part of the reason why the new crop corn got hit a little extra hard, because the noontime weather model sure didn't change much. They still are looking at a nice warm-up, but right after that warm-up comes pretty heavy rains for certain parts of the middle part of the country, Missouri, Tennessee, Kentucky, those early planting areas, and then we get another cold shot, it looks like, you know, coming in to mid to later next week. So we came in with an 824 million bushel average guess for old crop corn, and I suspect the wheels in Chicago were starting to turn, that 824 plus another big crop, maybe we'll be able to push over 2 billion bushels again on the new crop, and I think maybe they priced some of that in today.
And that would be for the end of the year or the fall of 2014
yeah.
by the time we got there. But we haven't seen a 2 billion bushel carryout in I don't remember how long now. It's a long time.
It has been a long time, probably the early 2000s, I'm guessing, yeah.
And so that'd be a big, big number, and I suppose would really put the lid on December futures and out. More so than a $5.35, you think?
Well, here's the thing I think's happening, and this is one of the things that really takes some time to work through, I think, you know, from a standpoint of a producer. But remember what the wheat did earlier this year when the trade was thinking much bigger supplies coming on weaker demand. They took that inversion and that premium in the front end and returned us back to a carrying charge market and put the premium into the July. I think corn is in the middle of that. You know, we went from $1.50 July D's corn spread premium to the July to now down to almost 75 cents for the weekly low today. So we essentially, or yesterday, we essentially took half of the premium and the inversion out of the July D's corn spread. My sense is that if we don't have a lot of planting delays, they're going to try and continue to work that type of philosophy, because they did it in the wheat, and they'll actually take the front end down really hard but leave the SEP and D's alone for a time period until we get to maybe July 4th holiday. So I think before we start talking downside potential in D's corn, I think maybe the front end has most of the work to do to return us back to a carrying charge market. Because we get 2 billion bushels, we're going to have the elevator system wanting us to store quite a bit on farm.
There are farmers out there, especially those who still own old crop, that don't like what you just said, I'm sure.
No.
And are convinced that there's just not the crop around. Of course, they're also holding it, but I'm wondering, do you really, I suppose you think that's a possibility. How much of a possibility?
Well, this is where it goes back to. We talked a lot about this at some of these meetings we did, you and I did with some other folks, you know, before the big report came out. And it was just, the bottom line was that 750 cash market in the middle part of the country was just too much for the demand side to take. So you needed to feed the bull in that grain stocks report. So having said that, the answer that I believe to your question is, if you can get the cash basis to get back on track and get back to the way it was a month or month and a half ago, and essentially say that the USDA report was wrong on grain stocks because we can't find the corn out there, then I think holding that old crop makes sense. And I'm telling my producers right now that I work with, I don't want to sell any old crop corn. I don't want to sell any new crop corn in the cash market. Do everything on paper. Why? Because the grain stocks report doesn't jive. When you look at the top nine states in the Corn Belt, which is about 85% of the total grain stocks are held in those nine states, six of those nine are within 100 million bushels of the 1996 grain stocks, not the 2004 grain stocks. So I think we are closer to 1996. We just have to work through the trade and work through the report and see what the cash market wants to do. So I don't mind hedging on paper in case I'm wrong and we do go back to a carrying charge market, but I'm real reluctant to sell any cash at this point.
All right, so you think possibility of going down through April, May, June, maybe even into parts of July, but that at some point it will either look like we've got a big crop facing us and we're going to make it all the way there, or we're simply going to be too short and the cash market will jump in and fix that problem.
Exactly, and at the same time, you're starting to work, you start to work, the wheels start to turn, and you start to work the idea that we didn't get all the acres we needed and the yield isn't as good, and all of a sudden that 2 billion bushel carryover that we tried to price in, mainly through the old crop, all of a sudden gets drilled down below 1.5 billion bushels, and you're talking again about $6 Dease corn. So that's the type of volatility this report last week brought us, and unfortunately the bird flu issue is the downside volatility in this market that no one can get their hands around because we don't know how serious it's going to get. And many people would say, well, don't worry about the corn, it's really about the soy market. That's true, but remember that meal market tends to influence the corn quite a bit as well. So that seemed to be a big issue this week especially.
That was playing well on the news and in Chicago, both bird flu, of course, a different strain of bird flu than they've seen before, not one that has transferred, at least until this time around, into the human population that's happening in China. And at this point is pretty isolated in just one area, but bird flu tends to move fairly quickly, I think.
Yeah, and it's not the time of year to have this spread because they tend to heat up and get a lot more humid. And, you know, this is the time of year where it does spread pretty quickly. And that the talk is that this is spreading through pigeons also, and that really
right.
disturbs you too because you know how far they travel. So this could be a big issue. It could be nothing. You know, that's where it's a real question mark right now. I think a week from today or maybe 2 weeks from today, I think we'll have a better handle on it because you'll probably be past some of the North Korean news. You'll probably be past some of the bird flu news. And so some of these what they call black swan events out there looming, maybe we'll be able to get a better handle on, along with what kind of planning delays we're facing, too.
Yeah, I think it's passing through pigeons, but if I recall correctly from listening to Dave's news, and of course it's pre-recorded, it's squab. As opposed to, so it's pigeons raised for meat.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly right. Yep.
I suppose they still travel.
Yeah, they still try and fly away when you kill them.
Maybe so. Anything on livestock before I let you go?
Well, they had a tough day because the equities markets, and you know, you're hoping if you're a hog producer right now, you got close to mid-90s on the June and July hogs. You're hoping if you're a hog producer, this is just a correction on the daily charts, that you've got good demand underneath you and tighter numbers coming. But you're real vulnerable, so next week at this time, you better be back up and testing some of the highs that we just tested earlier this week.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana.
Lernard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Lernard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now. He'll take a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, China announced today a sixth death from a new bird flu strain while authorities carried out the slaughter of all poultry at a Shanghai market where the virus was detected in pigeons being sold for meat. The mass bird killing is the first so far as the Chinese government responds to the H7N9 strain of bird flu. Health officials believe people are contracting the virus through direct contact with infected fowl. Experts urged Chinese health authorities to keep testing healthy birds, saying the H7N9 virus can infect birds without causing disease. Electronic grain trading hours change again on Sunday evening. CME Group's grain and oilseed markets will now open at 7 p.m. Central Time Sunday to Friday, with a trading halt from 7:45 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Central Time on weekday mornings. Electronic and pit trade will reopen at 8:30 a.m. and close at 1:15 p.m. The new trading day will be 4.5 hours shorter than the current 22-hour schedule, which CME Group implemented last May. Traders say that the new hours will address some of their liquidity and quality of life concerns, but note it does not address the underlying issues created by a rapidly evolving market. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. trade deficit narrowed in February as exports climbed close to an all-time high and the volume of imported crude oil fell to the lowest level in 17 years. The gap between exports and imports shrank to $43 billion in February, down 3.4% from January's revised $44.5 billion. Exports rose 0.8% to $186 billion, close to the record high set in December. Stronger exports of U.S. energy products and autos offset declines in sales of airplanes and farm equipment. Imports were flat at $128.9 billion. The Labor Department today says that U.S. employers added just 88,000 jobs in March, the fewest in 9 months. But the unemployment rate dipped to 7.6% from 7.7%. The rate fell because more people stopped looking for work. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both programs you can find on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org anytime you'd like. Also there, you'll find a subscription note for our weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe. It's free. If you don't like it, don't worry about it. Come right back to willag.org and just hit unsubscribe. It's all about the service right here at WILL. You'll also find a link there to Commodity Week. Our guest this week, Joe Persaki of USDA NASS, will ask him what was up with the grain stocks report. He won't be able to look forward to the WASDE report because that comes from a different agency within the United States Department of Agriculture, but Joe will be on the hot seat during Commodity Week. You can hear that after about 6 o'clock this evening at willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, this is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media at the U of I campus in Urbana-Champaign. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On this Friday afternoon, we're joined now to take a look at the cash grain market by Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Many have wanted, and we've talked about this with other folks, the cash basis to do the heavy lifting here after the dollar drop in the corn market, at least the nearby contracts. And that's not really happened. What's been happening in your area?
So far, I guess that's what concerned me most Thursday and Monday, is when we can lose $95 or 95 cents in the old crop corn and see the basis say, yeah, so what, and not really react to it. That scared me probably more than actual the board going down. Now, I hear some rumbles that we may have been seeing a little bit of improvement showing up this afternoon. That would be encouraging if that does follow through, because there's sure been absolutely nothing happening as far as selling in the intermediate week.
So, are there good reasons for the cash bid to say, so what? I just don't get that, frankly.
Part of it is, I think, that your end users have been pushing their purchases on out forward. I know some of the ethanol plants had coverage on out through April, May, into June, so they had the first half of the year covered when they had some opportunities early on that they were buying some basis and they were trying to get some ethanol sold out in it when they could lock in. They were small profitable numbers, but they were still in the black numbers.
Yeah, so they really didn't say, oh, what? They said, oh, dang.
Yeah.
And, will they be back, do you think, very, very soon then or not?
I think they will be looking for an opportunity right now, and it becomes kind of a game of seeing who's going to blink first. You know,
yep.
they have July, August SIP to cover here. We're not going to probably have a real super early crop, so that might give us a couple extra weeks to get covered in there. So who's going to blink first on giving up and cutting some loose or them on waiting to put coverage on or not?
Okay, so my other question then is, in the recent years, we have seen the market for corn dump in very late June, early July. I suspect you're thinking that won't happen this year.
Unless we have kind of all the stars line up and get the crop in, you know, have a fantastic stand and be having the weather coming on that we're looking for, and, you know, unless you get all those to line up and don't have any question marks, and usually you get to this new crop concern where you have to go too cold, too hot, too wet, too dry, and work through that checklist. And it's hard to make everything right and not have that. So, yes, I have some suspicions that we're not, it's a long way from being a crop yet.
Okay. Now, turn your attention to the soybean market. How did it react in your area over the past week?
We've seen a little bit of basis improvement, but a nickel on the basis doesn't do a lot in the face of what we've seen the board doing in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like some of the South American logistics are getting, you know, a little bit better in there. Some of the wait times, they still got substantial waits, but maybe a little bit less. And then the last thing we needed was this bird flu scare right on top of it.
And your bids for the day?
We are at 645 on nearby corn and 1384 on soybeans.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the weather forecast. Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, will join us here on Illinois Public Media.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's National Raisin and Spice Bar Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1764, the Sugar Act passed in Britain, placing new restrictions on the import of molasses to America. In 1806, Isaac Quintard patented the apple cider mill. In 1858, W. Atlee Burpee was born. Burpee founded the world's largest mail order seed company in 1876 when he was just 18 years old. He was staked by his mother, who gave him $1,000 to get started in his business. In 1881, Edwin Houston co-patented a centrifugal separator, which could be used in separating milk. By the way, the patent not only mentioned separating milk and cream, but clearing muddy water for paper making. In 1923, the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of Akron, Ohio, began the first regular production of balloon tires for commercial use. Firestone's low-pressure balloon tires revolutionized work on the farm, giving tractors a more comfortable ride while lowering fuel consumption as well as lowering the danger of high-pressure tire blowouts. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, is with us to take up the weather forecast for the weekend. Jim, it's a beautiful day today in Urbana-Champaign.
It sure is. It's hard to sit inside with weather like this. You want to get outside and do some stuff outside, so it's kind of tough.
It is tough, and there's lots of things to do outside, but you'd better get them done fairly quickly because there's rainfall on the way.
That's right. If we look at the forecast today, it's going to be nice, high of 57, and we're pretty much there. Saturday, high of 67, so even warmer. And even Sunday is going to be fairly nice with partly sunny skies and a high of 66. But starting Sunday night, the rain moves in. And really, we've got a chance of rain pretty much from Sunday night all the way at least through Wednesday and maybe even Thursday. What's happening is a cold front is going to move into the state and pretty much stall out right over the top of us. So it's going to be kind of a gloomy, rainy period there. And the rainfall amounts look fairly substantial. I was looking at some of the estimates or expected values, and they're on the order of about many places 1 to 2 inches are kind of expected during this time period. So it's going to be especially wet, especially the farther south you go. If you get down into southern Illinois, they could get up to 2 to 3 inches, but around in our area, it's going to be around an inch, inch and a half, something like that. But it's going to be a pretty soggy week next week, so you better get out and enjoy the weather today, tomorrow, and Sunday, because that's going to be it for a while.
From your perspective, is this a normal sort of change in the pattern? Is the jet stream acting as it normally would at this time of year, or is it something different?
Yeah, this is fairly typical of having these stretches of very wet weather. You know, you get into April, and the overall average for rainfall goes up in April compared to March, so it's already a wetter month to begin with, and yeah, you kind of get stuck in these multi-day patterns like this, and then hopefully they move out and allows the soils to dry back out so we can do some field work. But it's going to be a while at this rate.
Longer-term forecast from Thursday on look drier?
Yeah, if you look at the longer-term forecast, it looks like a lot of that's going to, or some of it's going to move out or be back to near-normal temperatures, maybe a little bit on the warm side in week two there. Precipitation-wise, it's we may still see some above-average chance on the 6 to 10-day, and even the 8 to 14-day has the above-average chance, but we're kind of right on the edge of that. So maybe we'll get lucky and just not get too much of the above-average. So it's kind of strange after last year not having any rain. This year we've got more than enough at this point.
I'd rather have a bit more than not enough, that's for sure.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Jim Angel is with the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. He serves as the state climatologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. By about 6 o'clock this evening, we'll put Commodity Week up, record at 4:30. Our guest this week, Joe Persaki of USDA NASS. We'll talk to him about the reports from last week, and then we'll take a look forward, of course, to the WASDE numbers.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.